The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome to our service of morning prayer. And it's lovely to have everybody back together with us here in the building in person this morning. But we also want to say a warm welcome to everybody who is joining us in their homes. Today is the third Sunday in Advent, and in our service we're going to be thinking a little bit about John the Baptist, and we're going to be thinking about different ways of pointing others to Jesus. We have some notices for the week that is to come. On Wednesday evening, it's our prayer meeting at 7 o'clock, and if people wish to take part, you just send an email to the Zoom email address. And the prayer meeting is happening this month on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. This coming Thursday sees our final speaker in the Lockdown Heroes series, which we've been doing during the month of December. And this coming Thursday, we're looking forward to welcoming Robert Robinson, who is the headmaster of Campbell College. And I've really enjoyed this series of Lockdown Heroes, and if you haven't managed to hear it, they're all available on the St. Finian's YouTube channel. If you happen to have a need for a quiet half hour, you can catch up with our speakers over the past 2 weeks, because I believe they've had great things to share and to say for us. We're also looking ahead to the new year, and in January time, we hope to begin our second Alpha course over Zoom. And if people would like to take part, again, you just send an email to the Zoom email account, or contact me, or contact the parish office, and we'd be delighted to have your company for an hour on 12 consecutive Wednesdays in the spring from 8 to 9 on Wednesday evenings. I'm going to say a little bit more about that in a moment, but just to say that next Sunday, we do hope, and again, it'll be different like everything is this year, we hope to have our service of lessons and carols at 11 and at 7 next Sunday. But as we think about the Alpha course, I'm going to just encourage you to take a look at a video.
Every day we ask so many questions. What should I wear? What's the weather going to be like? How am I going to fit everything in? But then there are those bigger questions, like why am I here? Where am I heading? Is there more to life than this?
I had arrived at an answer to the most important issue that we humans ever deal with. Is there a God? And I had arrived there without ever really looking at the evidence. And I was supposed to be a scientist.
At 28, I had gotten many of the things that I thought I wanted. You know, my girlfriend was on the cover of magazines, I had a Beamer, and I was so unhappy. It was a realization maybe that I would never find happiness where I was looking for it.
I think for so many years, you know, I always just strived to be strong in myself. All I needed was me and my buddies and, you know, we'd be like invincible. But the truth is, none of us are.
I found purpose, I found meaning, I found hope. God took something so broken and made it a beautiful art piece.
Alpha is a place where you can be yourself. You can say what you think and challenge everything. Like, no question is too complex or too simple. And what your point of view is as important as anyone else's.
We are going on a journey together, an adventure to explore the questions of life, faith, and meaning.
So as we mentioned at the beginning, today is the third Sunday of Advent, and we continue to think of all the preparations that God made for the coming of his Son, Jesus. So now we're going to light the third candle on our Advent wreath. As we light the candles on our Advent wreath, we remember all the preparations that God our Father made for the coming of his Son into the world. Our first candle reminded us of Abraham, Isaac, Moses, and David, who all looked forward to the coming of Jesus. Our second candle reminded us of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Micah, the prophets who told of the coming Messiah. Today is the third Sunday in Advent, and we remember how John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way for the Lord. John testified, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John said, "I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." John promised, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." John saw the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." So today we light this third candle, and we remember John the Baptist, who came to prepare the way for the Lord. Amen. Our opening hymn in today's service, we sit and we listen as we hear, "Come, thou long expected Jesus." Our service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm that's appointed for today is Psalm 126. And in this psalm, it speaks about putting our hope in the Lord. And we're going to say the psalm by alternate half verse. Psalm 126 by alternate half verse. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then was our mouth filled with laughter. Then said they among the nations, the Lord has indeed done great things for us. Restore again our fortunes, O Lord. Those who sow in tears, those who go out weeping, bearing the seed, Our Bible reading this morning is from the Holy Gospel according to St. John in the first chapter, beginning to read at the sixth verse. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him then, "Who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord." Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Here ends our Bible reading. And now we're going to stand together to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for today, the third Sunday of Advent, as we think of John the Baptist. O Lord Jesus Christ, who at your first coming sent your messenger to prepare your way before you, grant that the ministers and stewards of your mysteries may likewise so prepare and make ready your way by turning the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, that at your second coming to judge the world, we may be found an acceptable people in your sight. For you are alive and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. And we're going to share together the first and the third collects of morning prayer. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Some people will be aware that here in the parish, we have an ongoing link with the mission agency CMS Ireland. And CMS recently hosted a virtual carol service. It's available on the parish website. And as they hosted this service, they were able to draw together music and stories from right across the Church of Ireland and indeed from right across the world. And in a few moments, we're going to see one of those stories of hope that comes from South Sudan. And if you remember, on Advent Sunday, the bishop had launched a gift day for our diocese. And I was explaining that here in St. Finian's, 80% of what we raise is going to go to the Craiga Community Association, who have been doing great work in our local community. 10% goes to a church planting fund for areas in the diocese that don't have any church communities. And then 10% is going to our linked diocese in South Sudan. It's called Maridi. So today we're going to hear a story of hope from South Sudan from a lady called Eunice.
There are many ways to become blind in South Sudan. It can happen through a simple infection called trachoma. Even though early treatment with antibiotics can eliminate the risk of blindness, such treatment is often not available in rural areas. An equally common cause is cataract, which can be treated with surgery, but again, access to this treatment is limited, and the result, unfortunately, is complete blindness. 68-year-old Eunice lives in South Sudan, in Oulu Diocese. She has been blind for many years now. She didn't tell us her story of becoming blind. Like millions of others without access to adequate medical care, she slipped quietly and without a fight into a darkened world. But what we do know about Eunice's blindness is that it made her more vulnerable than she had ever been before. She can't plant crops. She can't go to harvest. She certainly can't sell anything at the market. She can't make an income for herself. But she also became an outsider in her own community. But now she lives with a little group of other people who are blind. They depend on the kindness of family or strangers to survive. Some months back, the Oulu Diocesan team wanted to respond to the dreadful deprivation which lockdown had brought to their communities. With funds from the CMS Ireland COVID response appeal, they brought soap, salt and beans to distribute in packages to the most vulnerable in their communities. One of the groups that they targeted in their outreach was the community of blind people. And Eunice was one of those who received assistance from the church. Bishop Tandema told us that Eunice said that this was the first time that she had any support from the church. In fact, she said that they never knew there was anything like that kind of assistance available in the church before now. The beans and salt which she was given will have lasted her for about a month, and the long bar of green soap may have lasted a little bit longer. But that wasn't all that the church gave Eunice when they turned towards her with a gift. They also created in her and in her community a hope for the future. Here's what she said. "Nobody has ever thought about us. We thought we were not important. But this support has created hope in us. And we now know that the church is thinking about us." When the church remembers the marginalised in the name of Christ, people like Eunice, who quietly walk a path darkened by sickness and exclusion, lift their heads just a little. And in the little light held up by the church, there is a dawn of hope. This Advent, as we remember the promise of a great light shining in the darkness, perhaps we can pray that the little light that has dawned will fully rise in Eunice's heart, as it rises, even now, in our hope-filled Advent praise.
So as we think of that light of hope that we are called to bring as followers of Jesus, that's the theme of our next hymn today, as we hear the hymn, "Jesus Bids Us Shine." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Some years ago, when I was doing a course on ministry, when I lived in another parish, I was invited as part of this course to take part in an interesting exercise. All of us who were participating were asked to go in groups, and this is pre-COVID days. We were asked to go in groups to two provincial towns in Northern Ireland and to try to get a spiritual feel for these places. And what that involved really was just bringing a little notebook with you, wandering wherever you felt led in the town, and observing different activities and maybe conversations that you were part of. And so as I wandered the main street on the day that I was doing this exercise, the first place, interestingly enough, that I was drawn to explore was a bingo hall. And I discovered as I entered this bingo hall, I'd never been in a bingo hall in the middle of the day before, but I discovered that about 60 people had piled in that particular afternoon, and outside the door upstairs where the bingo was taking place was this big poster, and it was inviting me to parenting classes in a local community center. And then when I made my way out of the bingo hall and I wandered a bit further down the street, I came to a church. And the church had this big poster outside the gate. And the poster said, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." But the door of the church was locked. The gates were padlocked. There was no number to phone. And so I left my experience of this particular town thinking that there was much better news to be had in a bingo hall, which offered to help me with the challenges of parenting, rather than the local church. What if I had wanted to seek the Lord? How would I have gone about it at that particular church, where the gates were locked, the doors were locked, there was no number to phone? Maybe that sounds unduly harsh or critical, but on this third Sunday in Advent, as we encounter John the Baptist and his life and his purpose are set out before us in our reading today, they tell a challenging story. Because John the Baptist came with one particular purpose, to be a witness to the light that is coming into the world, Jesus Christ our Lord, so that through him all men and women and boys and girls might believe. And that's what our Advent outreach of a gift of the Gospel of John is all about. And hopefully in the coming days and weeks, every household in the parish will receive one of these little booklets. And also some new local housing developments will all receive a copy. And on the back it gives details of our services and the website and various social media platforms that we have in operation. That's in a sense what our Alpha Course is about, offering people the opportunity from the comfort of their own home to explore over 12 weeks through videos just different aspects of the Christian faith and what it says and what it means and how it applies to our lives. One of the biggest challenges that I encounter as a minister of the gospel is that challenge of preaching God's word week by week. It's a privilege to do it, and yet it's always a challenge. And yet John was so simple and direct whenever we listen to him in that gospel reading today, as he tells us all this morning that your primary job as a minister of the gospel, your primary job as a member of the congregation of St. Finian's, is to point others to Jesus. That's what all our primary job is. And so I was wondering, what does that actually mean for you and me this morning? What does it look like if we were to think about John the Baptist and the way that he proclaimed Jesus? And when I was thinking about it, I think it really involves a look at some aspects of our lives. And the first one that I want to suggest this morning is the significance of the words that we use and the way that we communicate with other people. Because I believe one of the hardest things to do, if our faith is important to us, is to communicate that to members of our families or friends or school and work colleagues who don't share our belief that faith is really, really important. And one of the really important things that I want to suggest is that it's really, really important to keep the lines of communication open. And specifically, to pray for opportunities to say even a word or two into a particular situation. Now, that doesn't mean bombarding people. It doesn't mean shoving a message down their throat. And yet it is amazing how God does give us little opportunities to share what's really important to us. Even a simple question like, what did you get up to over the weekend, is an opportunity to say if you went to church or if you watched a service online, and maybe even to say a little bit about what was going on in that service. I know that my own general rule of thumb is to only respond with faith matters if I am first asked the question, or if in the course of conversation you ask a question that evokes an interested response. Well, then it's good to have that opportunity to share what we believe. But the flip side of the words that we use and the way that we communicate is whenever we're silent. And if I were to give an example, maybe you're in a situation where there's malicious gossip going on in a conversation. And by not joining in or by excusing yourself from that conversation, you can say some very, very important things in a nonverbal way. St. Francis once famously declared, "Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. And that leads me on to the second area of our lives that I think we need to look at carefully in pointing others to Jesus. And that's our actions and how we treat other people. Sometimes it's fair to say that we feel people have let us down. And it's very easy then, if they have let us down, to cast that up before them, to really make them feel hurt, or if we want to get back at them. Now, it's not wrong to sit people down and explain to them that they have hurt us or let us down, but perhaps Jesus is more clearly shown in the way that we move on and we seek to offer them a fresh start, even though that is an extremely difficult and costly thing to do. And sometimes, rather than have those difficult conversations, we brush over things that we haven't really dealt with, and that leaves us with a residue of hurt and bitterness. But as we look at John the Baptist this morning, we see him offering to the people a ceremony of baptism, a concrete action that allowed people to show that they had made a fresh start as they heard of the one who was to come. I remember very vividly spending a day a long time ago with a nurse in Uganda who cared for people who were dying of HIV and AIDS. And as she entered into the squalor and the dirt of people's homes who were too poor to come and receive medical treatment, and they were also too ill to attend a clinic, I asked her after that day how she did what she did. And she said very simply that she did it because Jesus had shown his love to her, and she now wanted others to know that love. And this nurse had such a powerful way of communicating it without using many words at all, as she went into people's huts and shacks where they lived and just offered that care so totally, so completely, without any judgment, and showing the love of Christ in that way. But I believe that it is primarily in the ordinary things of life that we communicate that we are his. It's those phone calls and text messages and cards. It's those meal drops or pickups of prescriptions. It's the very generous responses that church people have made in terms of time and financial resources and prayer that speaks very powerfully into the darkness. And I'm conscious that these are really, really difficult times for many people. And I believe that the church has responded in a very sacrificial and powerful way to show that it's not all about us and our concern for the wider community, both at home and further afield, is a significant pointer to the place of Jesus and the values of his kingdom. So let's strive with all the power available to us to be a community that points people, just like John did, to the one who is to come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you today for the simple mission and ministry of John the Baptist to point others to you. And we pray today for the courage and willingness to take ownership of that ministry in our own lives. We pray for our words and our actions, and we ask that they would be full of grace and integrity, that they would flow from lives that have been touched by your Holy Spirit and an awareness of your presence constantly with us. So we ask today that you'd help us in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces, to do all that we can to prepare the way for the Lord and to point others to him. And we ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And as we pray today for the nations of the world, we pray especially for South Sudan, a country deeply divided by civil war, and a place where people face enormous challenges to receive even the basics for survival in terms of food, medicine, and education. We pray today for our partner diocese of Maridi, for Bishop Moses and the clergy and people, and we ask that they would be given wisdom and resources to build a new future, to recover from civil war and the pandemic, and to create communities of faith, hope, and love. And we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And we pray today for churches and businesses reopening after the latest circuit breaker. We pray today for safety and for vigilance in keeping ourselves and others around us as safe as possible in these times. We pray for all who continue to serve on the front line in our hospitals and schools and pharmacies, on those working in retail, hospitality, close contact services, and delivery. We also want to pray for all known to us who are sick, those who are undergoing medical treatment, those who are waiting for surgery. And we ask that they would know the reassuring strength and peace of your holy presence. So in a quiet moment, let us bring before God those who are particularly in our thoughts and on our minds as we come to this service today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our next hymn is the hymn, Hark What a Sound, and Too Divine for Hearing. We bow our heads for God's blessing. May Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you, gladden your hearts, and scatter the darkness from before you. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you today and always. Amen. Our closing hymn today is a reminder of that ministry of John the Baptist as we hear the hymn on Jordan's bank, The Baptist's Cry.